Tomorrow morning, our 10 o'clock hour of Air Talk comes your way live from our Crawford Family Forum. I'll be joined by KPCC politics reporter Libby Denkman and a whole group of political scientists from local universities. They'll be opining on the Super Tuesday and California primary results. We look forward to having you in the audience. There are seats available. You just need to reserve one for yourself by visiting kpcc.org/in-person. You can make your reservation now to join us tomorrow morning at 10 here at KPECC. I just want to take a moment in this final segment to thank our wonderful Air Talk producing team. With this election week, the hours they've worked, the quality of their work has just been extraordinary. And I am so deeply indebted to the great team that supports this show each and every day. They're led by senior producer Fiona Ng. Our producers are Matt D'Angelantonio, Natalie Chudnovsky, and Lindsay Wright. Itzi Quintanilla also helping us this week as a producer. And our news apprentices, Sabrina Fang and Julia Murray. Our engineer is Parker McDaniels. Sean Campbell also helping us on the technical side this week. My deep appreciation to simply the best group of producers you will find anywhere. They are all stars. Well, the Alameda County Superior Court has ruled that the odor coming from a car stopped in Berkeley was not enough to justify a full vehicle search. What the police officers described was the smell of marijuana. What the search that they undertook based on that smell yielded was a loaded handgun. This rather precedent-setting ruling following Proposition 64, which legalized the use of recreational cannabis. With us to talk about the case and what limits are on law enforcement officers when they smell cannabis is Krista Wasserman, who's a litigator in private practice in Los Angeles. Thank you very much, Ms. Wasserman, for joining us. When it comes to alcohol, if a law enforcement officer smells alcohol in the vehicle, does that open up the door for a potential search of the car?
You know, Larry, it can. And this is actually a great opportunity to sort of lay out very briefly the background rules that govern driving with cannabis.
Yeah, good.
They're really very similar to laws that govern alcohol. It's illegal to drive under the influence of cannabis. I think no surprise there. It's also illegal for a passenger to smoke cannabis while they're riding in a car with you. And it's also illegal to possess an open container of cannabis while you're driving. So what it's legal to do is for somebody who's over the age of 21 to possess and transport up to 28.5 grams of cannabis. So in some ways, very similar to the way that alcohol is regulated, and the court in this recent decision even notes that the regulation of those two substances, at least in terms of what you can and can't do in a car, is quite similar.
Now, in alcohol, it's my understanding that if you have a bottle of alcohol in the vehicle that's reachable by a passenger or driver, it's got to be a sealed, unopened container. It can't just be closed. Is that also true with cannabis, that it has to be in a, that there is a noticeable seal on it, like with a bottle of booze?
That's actually a great question, and it's a lot of what this new decision turns on. So in this case, the court is interpreting a portion of the California Vehicle Code that talks about whether cannabis has to be in a sealed container or just in a closed container. And in this case, involving loose cannabis flower, the court concluded that the flower at issue only had to be in a closed but not sealed container.
So that's interesting. Why would they make it, do you think, more liberal for cannabis than for alcohol?
You know, that's really something that comes directly from the text of Proposition 64. And in construing statutes, courts need to, you know, stick to the plain language of the statute unless there's some reason not to do so. And so it's just drawn directly from the text of that legislation.
All right. So in this case, where the officers undertook the search of the vehicle, they found the loaded handgun. The court determined that this was not proper because it was not sufficient just to smell cannabis.
That's right. And I think it was a little bit, you know, there was a little bit more reasoning there. So at issue here, there was the smell of what the officer said, there was burnt cannabis and, you know, fresh cannabis. But the officer also conceded herself that the smell of cannabis, even if not being smoked in a car or in an open container, can linger for a week or more. So I think that the court was looking to the fact that there are reasons that a car might smell like cannabis that have nothing to do with violating California law.
All right. If you have questions for our guests, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. I had no idea that combusted cannabis, the smell can linger for a week since the last time a joint was lit. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. It's a chance for you to ask questions or share your perspective on this. Obviously, at issue is someone driving under the influence of a substance, but the other issue is, does that open up the door for a police search of the vehicle? Krista, if you've got someone police suspect is driving under the influence of alcohol, the officer smells on the driver's breath booze, does that open up the door for the vehicle to be searched, or is that a separate issue than having probable cause that, you know, there's contraband in the vehicle?
You know, it may be a separate issue. Probable cause really has to be reasonable basis to believe a crime may have been committed. So it's very fact dependent. And the case here, there wasn't probable cause because there wasn't probable cause to believe there was a separate crime being committed. But one of the cases that this newer case cites, it's a case called People v. Fuse, there was probable cause to do additional cases, or excuse me, to do additional searches, because the driver in that case was driving erratically, there was visible cannabis in the car, the driver acted strangely during the stop, and so there are a lot of facts that go into these sorts of determinations that courts make.
I'm still kind of stuck on the earlier thing we're talking about, that it just has to be a closed container, because I'm thinking if someone's driving along and has edibles, you know, sitting in the center console, just, you know, with a lid on a container that could be popped open and edible popped in the mouth, that would seem very much the same thing as someone driving with, you know, a bottle of whiskey that they could just unscrew the top and you know, take a slug. I it's weird. I don't see the difference there. But I'd love to hear from listeners. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Krista, if someone is spotted by an officer smoking a joint in a car, does that open up the door for the car to be searched, or can the officer only deal with the direct issue of the consumption of cannabis?
It certainly might open the door for additional searches, but, you know, unfortunately, it's hard to give a yes or no answer in these situations because it is so fact dependent. But going back to your prior, you know, comment about being able to, you know, have an edible in your center console, I think it's really important to look at the language in this decision that is, the decision is limited to decisions concerning loose cannabis flower. And the court itself distinguishes between that and the more general term cannabis in Proposition 64. And the court itself says, you know, it's the rationale for distinguishing between loose cannabis flower and other forms is unclear to the court, but the court's just sticking to what the plain language of the regulations and the text of the statute is. So I think folks who are in the business of either using cannabis for personal use or transporting cannabis as part of a business, it's so important for them to very carefully go through what the statutes require, what the regulations require, and to really take a lot of precautions and be careful, because words here matter, and little differences between things will matter, and folks need to know their rights.
Coming up, in addition to Krista Wasserman, our guest Los Angeles-based attorney, we'll be talking with the legal director for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, Normal as it's known. Keith Straub will be with us. We'll continue our conversation in just 1 minute right here on Air Talk. It's It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. We're talking about a case from Alameda County Superior Court involving a vehicle stop in Berkeley in which police said they smelled cannabis, then undertook a search of the car and found a loaded handgun in the vehicle for which the driver was charged. But the Superior Court ruled that that was not a legal search of the vehicle because just the smell of cannabis in the car is no indication that cannabis was being used at the time. I'd like to hear from you, your thoughts about this, or any questions that you have about legal or illegal use of recreational marijuana. We're at 866-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Also with us, I mentioned, from the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, known as NORML, Legal Director Keith Straub. Keith, appreciate your being with us. You think the court got it right this time, I assume?
Well, I do. And indeed, there are at least four other states who have, within the last few months, reached a similar decision. Let me make a minor correction, Larry, if I could.
Yes.
It wasn't the Superior Court that threw out the search. It was your Court of Appeals.
Excuse me. Originally went through this. Yes, you're right. It was the appellate court.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. But again, as I say, people need to keep in mind that the general rule, because of the Fourth Amendment that protects us against unreasonable search and seizures, the police either have to have a valid search warrant before they search, or the search has to fit in a handful of well-recognized judicial exceptions. And one of those exceptions for almost 100 years has been if the police believe they smell marijuana or any other illegal substance they can identify when they pull a car over, then the courts have allowed them to search the passenger compartment of the car without a search warrant. They generally cannot search the trunk without a search warrant, or they cannot search a locked container that may be in the passenger compartment. But the search of the passenger compartment they've allowed on the basis that the evidence may be destroyed if they're not allowed to search it in short order. Now, that may have made judicial sense back when any time you smell marijuana, it was a crime. Marijuana was illegal for all purposes and in all amounts. But as you know, there are now 33 states that have legalized medical marijuana. There are 11 states and the District of Columbia that have legalized marijuana for all adults for recreational purposes. There's no way when a police officer pulls your car over and smells marijuana that he can tell whether you have less than the 1 or 2 ounces you're allowed to have under your state law, or whether you have more than that amount, in which case it would become contraband and they would have the basis to search. So since they cannot tell, this no longer fits within the recognized judicial exception to the requirement for a search warrant.
Now, with alcohol, it's a legal substance. It's legal, but it's illegal to drive under the influence of it or to have an open container in the passenger compartment of the vehicle. And would you see that the law, do you think it should treat booze and cannabis the same, or do you think that there are differences that should come into play here?
Well, if there's evidence that the driver of the car is smoking while he's driving, then he's committing a crime, even under California's legalized marijuana law. And that's true in the other states that have legalized as well. But simply the smell of marijuana does not suggest that he was smoking in the car. It simply may be that he had the allowable amount of marijuana in the car or has had in the last few days. And as a result, the officer smells marijuana. Let me point out one other problem with the policy as it existed prior to this decision. Law enforcement officers have been trained for decades now that when you pull a car over, if you think the driver or the passengers look suspicious, then you always claim you smell marijuana because it allows you to search the passenger compartment to see if they're up to no good, even though they may have been made up the part about smelling marijuana. I'm not suggesting most police lie, but there certainly are plenty of police who do lie about the smell of marijuana so they don't have to go get a search warrant. They can just search the car on the spot. So in an important way, what these decisions are doing is returning a bit of a right to privacy that we used to possess that we lost over the last few decades. So I think these decisions are terribly important. And over the next decade or two decades, I suspect that every state in the country that has legalized marijuana, either for medical use or for recreational use, will reach a similar decision. Right now, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Vermont, and Colorado have all reached decisions similar to the one your Court of Appeals just handed down.
We're talking with Attorney Keith Schropp, Legal Director of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. They, for many years, have been advocates for the legalization of marijuana. I always wondered if NORML was going to go away when marijuana became legalized, but here they are, the organization still operating. And Krista Wasserman, attorney in private practice in Los Angeles, joining us as well. Keith, just to clarify here, if alcohol is smelled in a vehicle, does that open up the door for a potential search of the passenger compartment or not?
Well, if it were only the smell of alcohol without any evidence indicating the driver was intoxicated or had been drinking while in the car, no.
Okay.
Would not have the right to search the automobile.
So this brings cannabis into conformity with the rules on alcohol.
Generally, that's right. It's difficult to make them absolutely parallel because with alcohol, we've got a test readily available to tell if you're 0.08 or higher with alcohol. We presume that you're impaired. Right now, we really don't have a test that determines when you're impaired because of marijuana smoking, and we very badly need that test. Those of us who are responsible marijuana smokers, we want a test so that if an officer pulls us over and thinks we're high on marijuana and shouldn't be driving, we want to be able to demonstrate that we're not. The fact that he may smell a little marijuana, or I may have smoked marijuana over the weekend and it still shows up in my blood 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 days later, I'm certainly not still impaired. So one of the greatest needs in this area is the development of a test which would measure actual impairment, not simply the presence of THC in your system.
All right. I want to thank both of you for being with us. Keith Schropp of NORML, Krista Wasserman, who's handled civil and criminal cases at the state and federal levels, litigator in private practice, talking with us about the general rules on cannabis and driving. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope you're able to be with us tomorrow morning at 10 for our live in-person event at KPCC as we look at the results of the California primary, incomplete as they are, and Super Tuesday, what it means for the Democratic primary moving forward, as well as our local political races. RSVP, kpcc.org/in-person. I hope to see you tomorrow morning at 10. And tomorrow morning at 11, Film Week comes your way here on 89.3. Fresh Air is next. Have a great afternoon.